Okay. Before, up until this year, the examination process consisted of three papers: the SBA, which was done within the school context, and two written examination papers. One is a multiple choice paper, and the other is what we call a long answer or stimulus questions, where the children answer specific questions, and in that format, they're allowed to expand to present their knowledge and to apply that knowledge in an analytical way to the questions asked. So you had those three papers. What happened this year because of COVID? CXC announced on the 26th of March, I believe, at a press conference, both the timing, a change in timing of the exams, and in a change in the structure of the exams. That change being the removal of that paper two, the retention of the multiple choice paper and the SBA component. Now, the BSTU had concerns from then, both in relation to the timing and the change structure. When we had a meeting with, we meaning the Caribbean Union of Teachers, because the BSTU wrote immediately to the ministry in relation to that press conference. So on the same day of the press conference, 26th of March, we wrote expressing our concerns in relation to the timing and structure. We also wrote to the Caribbean Union of Teachers, CUT. Now, CUT wrote expressing their concerns, and we had a meeting with CXC, the registrar, on the 8th of May. One of the questions that I put to the registrar was, given the fact that you are now removing the paper two that allows a student to get marks in a way that the multiple choice does not, because a multiple choice question is either right or wrong, whether there would have been a restructuring of the multiple choice paper. I asked that question in relation to, as I said, the removal of paper two, and the fact too that the multiple choice paper would have been set within a context of pre-COVID and the assumption that the norm would have continued. In other words, that there would have been a paper two. So your multiple choice items were based as they stood at that point in time, part of a three-part exam. We were told that there would be no changes made to the multiple choice exam. So, in other words, you are having the same 45 questions at CAPE and 60 questions at CSEC, no paper two, and the SBA. We asked at that meeting, because it raised concerns in relation then of the relative weighting now, since you were removing the paper two. What would the SBA, how would the SBA be weighted? And how then would the multiple choice exam be weighted? Because you're removing paper two.
And when we're talking about waiting for the purpose of the entire public, when we're talking about waiting, what are we talking about?
In other words, the relative marks awarded to each component
Like a percentage
of
of the
the
mark. Okay,
exam. Right.
got
And then,
it.
yes. Now, as I said, having removed paper two, we were concerned about how they would shift the marks allocated now to the multiple choice and to the SBA. We could get no answer from the registrar at that point in time. As a matter of fact, we could get no answer up until the 24th of September, again, when the CUT met with CXC 2 days after results were announced. When we said up until that point in time, teachers across the region had no idea as to how the SBA and the multiple choice exams were weighted. The registrar then indicated that the weighting of the SBA was outlined in each syllabus, which of course shocked us, because the weighting of the SBA, as it is outlined in the syllabus, is part of a three-part exam. It could not remain the same if you are removing paper two.
Well, it ain't remain the same and paper one then carries the weight of paper one and two.
I am not going to assume anything.
But you can only assume that. But wait, let's deal with some numbers and examples so that the public out there is clear. My understanding, when I did it, SBA was like, what, 40%?
It sometimes varies from subject to subject.
So let me, I just want to use an example. So let's say before SBA was 40%, paper one was 25% or 20%, because multiple choice, that's like 60, then the other paper would be 40%. So then what will happen is SBA will be 40% and paper one will be 60%. Is that what CSC is trying to imply?
All I can tell you is what I was told. I am not going to infer. I'm not going to assume, because that is the clarification we were seeking.
So communication is definitely a major issue in this mess.
Exactly. Up until now, teachers cannot across the region cannot tell you what the weighting of the SBA was and what the weighting of the multiple choice was. That is something that we have not heard up to the 24th of September from CX.
All right, let me go over to Ms. Paula Amore.
Corey, yes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to speak in relation to the comments made about the quality SBA. Of correction mm-hmm. of the SBAs. And everything that was said by the student was correct in relation to the work done by the teachers in assisting students to complete their first major
part of the
piece of research. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact of the matter is, a recognition of all the work that is done by teachers is actually the argument used by CXC for not compensating teachers for the work. They're claiming that is something that must be done within the schools and therefore forms part of the teacher's responsibility. Now, the teacher then, to my mind, is best placed to do the most accurate marking of the work done by the student. But it also raises questions now if there are going to be disparities in relation to the teacher's mark and the assistant examiner's, as that relates to quality assurance. Now, every year, normally, CXC asks for a sample of SBAs across subjects so that, for example, if we see SEC, you would send five SBAs to CXC to be moderated, to be second marked. Now, CXC is supposed to have a system of reports, follow up on that, their grading process. I have had reports from teachers that for years now have not received reports in relation to that. So that if there has been a fault with the marking, that is not being communicated to them. They can send for the full set. So suppose there's a disparity in my marking of my five papers and CXC's second marking. They next year can send for the full complement of my SBAs to mark so that we go beyond the sample.
Ma'am, everything that you're saying is okay. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is when you have a human being, you have subjective marking, you have something that like outside, and you said it in your opening, when you have something like multiple choice, it's either right or wrong. But if I have a question where I have to write something and it's out of 10, I can determine as the person correcting, I'm going to give it 3, I'm going to give it 7, I'm going to give it 8. So I think that is really in areas like that because you're using subjective analysis.
You can only give it 3, 7, or 8 mm-hmm. if it has the material in
correct.
It that is worthy. Listen, that's why I'm talking about the rubric. Mm-hmm. If it has the material in it worthy of the 3, 7, or 8.
Right.
So this is what I'm talked about the quality assurance. Mm-hmm. So if the quality assurance measures in CXC are not being applied and are not working, then how do you blame teachers?
Mm-hmm. Mary, can I interject? Mm-hmm. Can I interject and let you rest yourself? Because
I think that I need to make it clear to persons out there that this criticism, as a broad-based criticism, I am not disputing the fact that there may not be one or two instances of this happening. But to say that it is a broad-based action on the part of teachers and that has caused the disparity in marks.
Nobody's saying that.
Corey, with all due respect, I think that is exactly what people are saying. On behalf of the teachers of the region, I don't want Paulette, my alter ego, to come out, but on behalf of the teachers of the region, I just want to register my utmost distress at the casting of aspersions on the integrity of the teaching profession. It seems as though a number of people are trying to cast blame on Sam Kuchi and Iduppi and everybody except where the responsibility lies. I am hearing talk about the teachers marking favorites up. I'm hearing about overachieving students with limited coping skills. I'm hearing about parents pressuring their children, and really the children don't care, and this is all about the parents. Let the responsibility be focused on where it lies. CXC, in their wisdom, presented a flawed exam. They recycled multiple choice questions, or they used recycled multiple choice questions instead of issuing a new multiple choice paper one or a paper two. And I think it's a dangerous road to go down the path of talking about SBAs and impugning the integrity of the majority of the teaching profession who works their guts out for the pay that bears little resemblance to the work that they're asked to provide. And perhaps we should ask CXC who moderates those SBA markings, because my understanding is that the criteria for the moderators has changed from qualified. Exactly. And that, okay, it's up to CXC to moderate as they see fit, assuming that they moderated all of the SBAs that supposedly they were supposed to do. I think that people should cease and settle and don't go down dangerous roads that might get them into trouble. And that is all I have to say right now. Thank you.
All right, before we go over to Trinidad and Guyana, I wanted to ask the caller, I see the caller is gone, if her questions were answered. And I believe that Ms. Raymond did a good job at answering the majority question in terms of how they were weighted, marking what they did last year in comparison to what they did this year. Now, to you, Ms. Paula Amor, what I think you raised interesting issues in terms of the type of moderating, the grading system used, and I think I want to highlight a bit of it, although it's not verified, it's something that dropped off the back of a truck. One does not take away from the other. If persons have concerns, just as you have the legitimacy to raise your concerns, they have to raise theirs, and I believe that the investigation should bring this out. I think one of the good things that all the stakeholders in this can get out of this going forward is that a number of issues relating to SBAs, moderation, grading, all the systems, all the battles that Ms. Redman and all the stakeholders have fought for almost 20 years with CXC can be brought to a head, and something really progressive come out of this outside of the fact that we get this review and get these correct marks in. So I don't want one to replace the other, okay? Now, the Trinidadian student and parent chat, let's hear from you. You wanted to interject on the whole idea of the exam as well.
Yeah, correct. Just to supplement what Ms. Redmond said, in terms of SBA correctness and teacher marking, in my school at least, and the schools that I've been in the past, we have been extremely strict about how we mark SBAs for the sake of if the SBAs are incorrectly marked, the entire school mark, whether they were correct or wrong, historically would be either brought up or brought down. So because of that, from what I know, my school and other schools in Trinidad, at least from what I can speak for, have been extremely strict and rigid in how they mark SPAs. So I don't think that marking SPAs was the issue. Additionally, an issue that a lot of students have been questioning is that if CXC could have the manpower to moderate, and I quote, every single SPA, every single IA mark, why couldn't they mark paper twos, which is a much more accurate representation of a student's capabilities, especially for essay subjects such as history, sociology, literature? Because how could you mark a subject that a student has been preparing for an entire year for to write essays on to get their marks by a multiple choice component?
I definitely agree with that, and that's a question that should be put squarely to CXC, and that they should be made to come here and face the music and answer. So I do agree with that. The point I want to underscore from your first point is this. The mere fact that they have to put a mechanism in place like that answers the risk that the person's raised here as well towards the SPA. For you to say if X happens, we will do Y, it means that X is a possibility. And that's all I was getting from, and I'm talking about from the show today and the communication today. Now, Paula Ann and the rest may have other things that they've heard outside of the show today, and I'm sure that's okay. But I just wanted to flag that. This does not take CXC off of the grill today for the things that are happening today. And I just want to make sure that we have that clear. I want to hear from two of the other persons who would have joined us lately. One is Martz Fraser, and one is from Daryl Jordan. Good afternoon and welcome. Which one of you can we hear from first?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Cameron Fraser, and I'm from Guyana, and I have here my colleague Zian Ramatar. So about the exams. So first of all, I would just like to say that at our school, Zian and I are from the same school. Unfortunately, when this entire quarantine thing started, we had elections. So we were out of school before quarantine started. But that did not stop the students or the teachers. They got right up on their feet and they got to work. They adapted to online school very quickly. And we had finished some of our IAs before quarantine had even started. And the teachers, they came back, they went over, they corrected, they made us do it over. So our IAs were up to standard. And I can tell you that for a fact. In one of my cases, biology, I had the highest IA mark for my year. I was a Unit 1 CAPE student, and my IA was moderated. Now, of course, that's done by an external moderator. They come in and they check the score. They even gave me a higher score. So when I got back my grade, I got to grade 2 in biology when I went in with predicted 1. Something was very wrong there. And in a paper that had, I don't know, maybe more than 95% repeats, that didn't make any sense. So the entire process, from what we understand, is entirely flawed, and we are very upset that CXC refuses to come out and accept the blame. And in doing this, they have actually caused both the students and the teachers to go into a state of depression and demotivation. We have cases, for example, a lot of the CAPE Unit 1 students have decided to leave and go do A-levels because they cannot trust the process anymore. And I don't trust the process anymore. Zane, would you like to say?
You covered everything else. Well, I could just give some quotes from some of our students here to substantiate these claims. Additionally, our school has what you would call like a self-help club, if you want to call it like that, where they would reach out to higher ups in the school to talk about mental turmoil that they're facing. And the president of this club would have informed me that after these results, students were calling in regarding the contemplation of suicide. So it's safe to say that these results tremendously affected the students. So I have some quotes here. One student said that they were kind of depressed for a good while because of it, and they would do anything to avoid people just so they couldn't ask that student what they got. And the student said that even though my parents said they were okay, with what I got, I still kind of had the feeling in the back of my head that they were just lying to avoid making me feel worse. Another student said that I don't think I've ever cried as much as I did that night. So there's another one that said, due to all the repeats, just like what Cameron said, they thought they got grade ones, and then they're seeing twos and threes for subjects that they would have merited regionally before they get in twos and threes in it. No, which doesn't make sense. And it's instilling in them self-doubt. Remember, these are kids that are going to be going off to university. You don't really want them to have self-doubt when they're going off to university. So in addition to having self-doubt, they're also doubting the system, which is not a good thing. They're turning, well, isn't it a good thing for CXC as well, because they're turning to A-levels. And I know you probably would like to know, like, why are they turning to A-levels? If you didn't know A-levels had a similar issue earlier in the year, they didn't even write exams. They went solely on predicted grades. And obviously that caused a problem. So why would they go over to A-levels? Well, they were saying that Cambridge International, which is the body that assesses the A-levels examinations, admitted that they were wrong. All the areas that CXE is, this is a quote, by the way, from a student, all the areas that CXE is lacking in, A-levels is strong in. And even if CXE repeats questions, A-levels does not generally. So they're more confident in the testing methods as well for A-levels. And again, the major fact in all of this is the fact that A-levels admitted that they were wrong, and they started to do the regrade and everything within a few days. We did petitions and stuff, and it took a while before we got a proper response from CXE. So it put a lot of pressure on the students.
Okay. I would also like to add that at our school, our teachers actually moderate other schools. So for CXE to come out and say that our IAs and SPAs are subpar, when our teachers have been moderating for years, is ridiculous. So it's like, you know, for them to blame the students and the teachers, saying that our work was not sufficient and that they are satisfied with the grading process when they are affecting children's mental health. I've heard teachers have told me that they're questioning their career choice because of what happened. So CXE needs to realize that the impact of what they have done is not just on our grades, it's on our mental health, our future, our teachers' mental health. And some people rely on their children to get good careers so they can support their families. So they have done us wrong, and they need to come out and accept their wrongdoings.
What I'm hearing is the region seems to be very disappointed in you, CXE, because what has happened is you've to come out and really say there'll be no review, there'll be nothing so early in the game, you box yourself in a corner. So it's harder now to come out, to eat that humble pie, to say that you're wrong, like other bodies have tried things, and now you have the hard task to review, to investigate, and to even step out into the light and say, and put your hands up and say, we've made a mistake. You're listening to Brass Tacks Sunday, CXE, what has gone wrong? 40 minutes afternoon. This is Brass Tacks Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing. Big or small, at Williams Metals, we have
it all. At Williams Metals, we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, before we go to the telephone lines, I would hear from a couple of other the panelists we didn't hear too much from, so let's go over to a former teacher in Trinidad. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I just want to address some of the things that some of the other panelists have talked about. And first of all, with regard to SBAs, teachers all follow the same rubric set by CXE, full stop. That is it. To call into question our teachers is absolutely ludicrous. And I think that those statements need to be retracted by whoever made them. The second thing is I'd like to bring to the forefront is that some of the grades that these students have received are statistically impossible. No matter how the weighting shifted, If a student who went into the exam with a high SBA mark and taken into consideration that CXC did not bother to set or reset their multiple choice exam, all right? Everybody knows that all these multiple choice papers are out in the public domain and the children have been trained to answer them. If you have a paper that 55 out of 60 of the questions are repeats, right? And you know as a student, you got almost all of them correct. How can you come out of the exam with a grade 4 when your SBA was a high grade? It's absolutely statistically impossible, all right? And in all my years as a teacher, I have never seen kids who got 5 1s in unit 1, for example, get 3s, 4s, and 5s at unit 2. It's just not possible, all right? Especially when you take into consideration that there was no paper 2 this year, all right? And I just wanted to bring up those few things based on what everyone else was saying.
Okay, I'll just keep it going. Keep the comments. I want to hear from Daryl Jordan now. Let me hear from Mr. Luke. Now we'll cover everyone in this segment, and then we go over to the telephone lines, which is really built up right now. So let's go.
Hi, good morning. With regards to the issue, I've been following it from the beginning, and my biggest concern is transparency. And as Ms. Redmond would have said, we have to, on several occasions, she would have said this, that we need to know about the weighing of the grades. How are the profiles created? And I can't say that I have had an issue this year with our results. I am pleased with our results with our students. However, overall, it gives a sense of discomfort when you think about the inconsistencies and when you think about the lack of transparency and that you can challenge the integrity of the entire examining body. That's just my input on it.
All right, cool. I want you to feel free to, just as Paula did, you know, put your hand up when you want to jump in and make a comment. But I also will be calling on you all in terms of your areas in particular as we move on. So let me hear from Mr. Luke at this time.
Good afternoon, everyone. Morning. Good afternoon, Corey. I just wanted to add some clarity as well to your caller who wanted to know about the actual process and some things the students as well as Ms. Redmond and Ms. Moore have brought up. I want everyone to know that the moderation process is not anything new. And for members of the public to indicate that this may be a teacher problem is really a serious concern to me, because it would indicate, since the moderation process is not new, and I'll just give you an indication of what that involves. It usually involves 5 samples for a particular subject coming from each school, going off to CXC, that being sent to a moderator that is supposed to be a trained person who has been standardized with a mark scheme. That person marks those 5 scripts and reports those marks. Those marks may vary and have varied over the years, either above or below what the teacher has marked. Usually it is not too far above or too far below. Sometimes there has to be adjustment to the overall sample, as the student from Trinidad has said, and she has rightly pointed out, it makes no sense for teachers generally across the system to inflate marks when they know that they have to go, those marks have to go before moderation. And there's a chance that not just the 5 scripts that have been submitted will be downgraded, but the entire class will be downgraded. So it makes no sense to do that. So the point I'm making also is that once there is a discrepancy, you would not expect the discrepancy to result in a change from a 100% SBA down to 40% or 30% so that you're failing. How are students moving from a grade 1 to a grade 5 or 6 in this kind of situation? One of your callers also talked about the fact that the grades overall, or CXC has reported that there has been no change or there has been a slight increase in the amount of grade 1s. So this indicates that there are no flaws in the system. But I can tell you basic statistics. If you add 5 + 5 + 5, you will get 20. If you add 1 + 10 + 9 + 0, you still get 20. So if there are inconsistencies across the system, and we have not really talked too much about we've had the public talking about these, you know, entitled students who are accustomed to getting grade ones and they're now getting a lower grade. We haven't talked about the other end of the spectrum, really. You mentioned it just now. There are some students who are on the opposite end of that spectrum as well, who would have consistently scored poorly and now would have achieved twos and ones as well. There are those students in the system. So how has this occurred? And you're still saying that, you know, well, you have the same amount of grade ones across the system. Well, of course, you might still end up with the same amount of grade ones in the system if the number of students who normally get grade ones is less and the number of students who would not normally get grade ones is greater. And that's just the point that I wanted to make, as well as the issue of transparency. Transparency is very important, and we have not had transparency from CXC for a long time, and certainly in this process. There's no transparency in the waiting. I would like some transparency actually in this review committee. What is their remit? What exactly are they going to do? Are they remarking a sample of papers? Are they looking at the system electronically across the board and looking for inconsistencies? What are they actually doing? And we know the time frame, but we want to know the specifics. What are they actually doing? And are these people who are quite learned, have they been involved in the process before? Do they know what grading committees do? Do they have intimate detail of this, or is this something that they now have to be told about? Thank you, Corey.
Excellent. I want to give you all a good range of the type of messages coming through, and then we go to the telephone line. So those on the line, please stand by. Corey, if you listen to the Daryl Jordan teacher, she says she's pleased with her students this year. This clearly has an issue and highlights a flaw in electronic processing, which may have bumped down high scores. And there are other writers on here saying that as an average or slightly above student, I cannot say the problem is only top students. They're saying that I was expecting twos and threes and even got fours. So it seems to be what they're saying is across the board. There are lots of shout outs here from Trinidad and Guyana. So you're having a good regional program today, I can say for sure. Some other rumors slipping in here, I would not read those. And a lot of discussion on the SBA, how they're moderated. Some people arguing for or against the whole integrity issue. I'm saying that it really does an injustice to focus on that. Because as many people also within the WhatsApp is saying that this is something that is not new. This is something that teachers have been complaining about for some time. And this one is put to Ms. Redmond. It says, you know, when you have multiple choice, it's not for you to reply to Ms. Redmond, they just call your name. When you have multiple choice, there's not anything far. You are either right or you are wrong. And that is probably one of the reasons why the marks are the way they are. But we're going to come back to that. I really want to get over to the line and see what some of the people on the public on the telephone have to add to the discussion. So I want to say good afternoon and welcome at this time. Good afternoon. Hello? Go ahead with your contribution.
Yes, you can hear me, Corey?
Loud and clear.
Good. Well, Corey, and morning to the panel too. As far as the SBA is concerned, I believe everybody should get 100% every time. You know what, Corey? This is a project that is done along with the teacher. You have plenty of time to do it. When you assess a student on the SBA and something isn't right, you are fully in your right to direct the student and to guide them what is wrong and show them how to do what is right. So they should get 100% every time.
Theoretically speaking, I understand what you're saying, but some students put way more effort. Some parents and teachers, as a parent, may put a little bit more emphasis behind the children to do it. So some will put in a lot more effort, and those are the ones who you would expect will get greater grades.
Right. Okay. So that's one point. The other point is this. Ms. Mary Lennon is saying that there were always problems with this CXC for years. And I am a little surprised when she came back that the only protest that I have seen over the years with Mr. Redmond was over, there may be others, but I don't know. I personally don't know. I've seen a protest over money, excuse me, to be paid by the party teachers for the correction of the SBA, but I can't remember any Sunday program on talking about anything else or fighting with any other issue. That's one. The second one is that the CXC did inform the union for which Ms. Redmond, I think, admit to, of the changes in the structure that was going to take place. And there had to be a change because of COVID. So I don't think anybody would deny that. They agree with the change in the structure and complain now. I believe it would have been better to complain before.
Are you hold on? I think we need to get Ms. Redmond in and let's have a kind of discussion between you. Ms. Redmond, come in, please.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good
if I could just clarify, starting from the top, in relation to our demand for compensation for SBAs, as we said, normally the CXC examinations consists of three papers. Papers 1, 2, and 3. Paper 3 is the SBA. That is CXC's paper. And just like how we people are paid to correct papers 1 and 2, we argue that they should be to correct paper 3. And some teachers in subjects are compensated. So we are saying that there should be uniformity and consistency across the board, and that all teachers doing SBA work with students should be compensated because, anytime that a student provides a finished SBA, that teacher has seen at least 4 or 5 draft copies. And so there's a lot of work done with the student to complete the SBA. Going on to your other point, you said, why are we complaining? No, we have, if there have been issues for such a long time. And the difference now as compared to before is that issues, yes, are in common, but they have never occurred at this level with the quantity of problems across the system. Before, we've had perhaps problems with subjects or with students or at a level, whether CSEC or CAPE. Now we have problems across a range of students, across a range of subjects at both CSEC and CAPE and across the territories of the Caribbean. So the problems have been magnified this year. And it is the extent of the problems as they have occurred this year. You also said that we agreed to the changes. Now that I said, I don't know if you heard me at the very beginning, when I said that the same day, the very same day on the 26th of March, 2020, when the registrar had a press release, made a press statement, and indicated the change to the timing and structure of the exams this year, we wrote immediately that same day on the 26th of March to the PS, Ministry of Education, copy to the Chief Education Officer.
So in other words, Carl, they did not agree to the changes. If you want to hold on, you can hold on, but that music tells us that we got to go to the latest from the Starcom Network News. More Brass Tack Sunday brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.